Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This morning, you know, we're going to look at some things, one or two things, amen. But I kind of want to start by just recapping from last week Sunday, where it was Palm Sunday when Jesus came riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. And when he did that, you know, it was just nothing happens by mistake with him. And it was a fulfillment of prophecy that was declared hundreds of years before that. And he came riding in on a donkey, and it's amazing because when he came into Jerusalem, it was the 10th day, which is the day that they would choose, the children of Israel would select their lamb that would be slaughtered to take away their sins during Passover. And so Jesus came in and they would cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David, to the Son of David. Hosanna in Hebrew means Hoshiana, which basically means save us. Save us, Son of David. Save us, O King. Recognizing that coming into Jerusalem, they were busy selecting their Passover lamb. And what's also quite astounding is it's not too long after this that the Hebrew people no longer use a lamb at Passover. How does that happen? How is it that the Jewish people, the children of Israel, no longer have a lamb during Passover? Well, the reason why is because the Passover lamb already came. And the blood was spilt once and forever and for all, for you and I, so that the remission of our sins can be taken away. Can you say amen? Isn't that amazing? Jesus came in on the donkey, fulfilling prophecy, which I'll share with you in just a moment. Knowing very well that what he was getting himself into, knowing very well what was busy taking place. He prepared his disciples already before this. And during this week, while he's in Jerusalem, he was constantly trying to remind them about what was about to take place. And you know, when I was in Jerusalem, getting to see all these places where Jesus was and how it had affected my life. And, you know, I shared with my dad, and I was speaking last night because he went with me to Israel just a few weeks ago. And, you know, I remember while I was in Israel, I said to him, I don't think we'll really grasp what we're busy experiencing until we get home. And so during this Passover week, it has never been alive like it is to me now. But I think it goes far more than my visit to Israel. I think it's what God's busy doing right now on the planet. He is busy with his people. He's busy calling his people. He's busy stirring up his people. He's busy raising up his people for what I truly believe will be the greatest harvest we have ever seen. A harvest of souls, a harvest of children that belong to God that will come back to him. That's hearts will be drawn back to him. Not out of obligation, but out of desire for more of him. Out of a desire to serve and thank and love the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who has spilt his blood and given us life. We often focus so much on the cross, and we should, because it's because of the cross that we have eternal life. But if it wasn't for the third day, if it wasn't for the day that he rose again, none of it would have really meant that much. It's because he rose again that the power came, that the life came, that forgiveness came. It all came Resurrection Sunday. And listen, it doesn't matter if it was Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The fact is, we celebrate the day that it happened and the power behind it. Can you say amen? Don't become a Pharisee. Amen. Anyway, amen. All right. I love you guys. Amen. Now, I want to share with you before we really get into it this morning. Try and tell me if you recognize who I'm speaking about. He was a descendant of Abraham. He came from the tribe of Judah, or the house of David. He was conceived by a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. He went to Egypt as a child. There was one who came before him who prepared the way for him. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He ministered in Galilee. He performed many miracles. He preached the good news and healed the brokenhearted. He entered Jerusalem on a donkey. And he cleansed out the temple right after that. He was rejected by his own people. He was betrayed by a friend for only 30 pieces of silver. He was humiliated in his death. He was executed amongst the guilty. Afterwards, they cast lots for his garments. He drank vinegar and gall. None of his bones were broken like the others. And he was buried in a rich man's tomb. The good news is that he rose from the dead. Who is that? Who is that? Come on, somebody, a little bit louder. Now, what is interesting about what I just read to you is that I was quoting from Scripture in the Old Testament. None of that was New Testament Scripture. In other words, everything I just read to you was written long before he was even born on this earth. But yet, we do not see. And that's why we say, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Now watch this. Let me show you how powerful this is. I'm going to read it again, but now I'm going to give you the scripture. If I had to read it, we'd be here all day. So if you really write fast, you can write fast. If you want the scripture, send me an email or send the church an email and I'll send everyone to you. But let me read this to you. I'll go through it real quick because we want to get into things. He will be a descendant of Abraham, Genesis 22:18. He will come from the tribe of Judah, the house of David, Genesis 49:10. He will be conceived by a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. He will be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. He will go to Egypt as a child, Hosea 11:1. One comes before him who will prepare the way, Isaiah 43:5. He will be anointed by the Holy Spirit, Isaiah 11:2. He will minister in Galilee, Isaiah 9:11. He will perform many miracles, Isaiah 35:5-6. He will preach good news and heal the brokenhearted. Isaiah 61:1. He will enter Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah 9:9. He will cleanse the temple. Micah 3:1. He will be rejected by his own people. Psalm 118:22. He will be betrayed by friends and only for 30 pieces of silver. Psalm 41:9. Zechariah 11:12. He was humiliated in his death. Watch this. Isaiah 53:3. Psalm 22:7-8, Isaiah 52:14, Psalm 22:16, Zechariah 12:10. He will be executed amongst the guilty. Isaiah 53:12. They will cast lots for his garments. Psalm 22:18. They will give him gall and vinegar to drink. Psalm 69:21. None of his bones will be broken like the others. Psalm 34:20. He will be buried in a rich man's tomb. Isaiah 53:9. He will rise from the dead. Psalm 16:10 and Psalm 68:8. Wow! Come on, somebody. He is alive. He is the Son of God. The Lamb that was slain, spoken of from the foundation of the earth. He was and is to come. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he lives. Can somebody give him praise? Does somebody in this place have something to shout about? Come on! And all that before the beginning of the New Testament. Wow. Wow. Now we know the story that he died on Calvary and they took his body down. We can preach a sermon right there and put him in the tomb. And on the third day, the tomb was empty. But what happened on that day? And how does this affect our lives? Some of this we know. But maybe this morning I'll share something that hopefully will stir you up and encourage you to see what the resurrection really means in your life. as a believer. Let's go to Philippians 3, verse number 7, and see how Paul refers to the resurrection. Watch this. Philippians 3, verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also counted all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul makes this profound statement, that I may know Him. In other words, I count it all lost. Doesn't matter. Everything I've been through, everything I go through, at the end of it all, I want to know something. I want to know Him, and I want to know the power of His resurrection. What is it that was so powerful about the resurrection? Now, we all know that on the day, look, let's be honest. If you had to go to a tomb and it was empty and the body's nowhere to be found, and we know that He shows up in town all over the place, how many of you know that's pretty supernatural? There's nothing normal about that. So what happened between His death and His resurrection? Revelation 1:18 gives us an idea, and we'll look a little bit deeper this morning into it. It says this, I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. I have the keys of Hades and of death. Now, if you study Ephesians 4, I believe it's from verse 7 to 9. You don't need to go there, but go study it. You will see that it says that I descended, but that I also ascended. So He first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He went down into Hades, into hell, and He took the keys. He took the keys of life and death. He took the keys of death from the enemy. And we'll read a scripture in just a moment to take a look at what Jesus actually did to the enemy while He was there. But what you need to know is that, because, can I ask you guys, just drop me just a little bit. Please, just a little bit. Because if I get loud and I want to, I'm going to like hurt people's ears and there will be feedback. And I want to go over there, but every time I go there, feedback does that funny thing. Amen. Thank you, guys. I love you guys. Amen. Thank you. The old me would have been shouting at them, but actually, okay. But I am transformed. Amen. All right. All right. Anyway, so let's get back to the story. So because of what He did by going down and taking the keys of death, you now in Him have the ability to have life forever. You don't have to die. And when I say die, I mean you don't have to die the second death. Because the first death is this earth. We go to be with Him, and you don't have to die the second death. You will not be judged if you are in Him. If you are in Him, you will have life forever. You will have eternal life forever. Because the wages of sin is death. He gave His life to pay for sin, but He was innocent. So there's an exchange for your and my sin. Amen. Okay, most of us can grasp the concept. But there was much more that took place that day on Calvary and when He rose from the dead. And when He went down and He took the keys. Let's take a look at it. Are you guys okay? All right. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Let's go to Colossians 2, verse 13. Colossians 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Everybody say all trespasses. Everybody say that's me. No, no, no. Say that's me. Amen. He has taken your trespasses away if you're in him. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now watch. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. So he went down into the grave, took the keys, and made a public spectacle of everything that exalts itself against him. Every power, every principality. When we speak of principalities and powers, we speak of demon spirits. Spirits that believe they have authority. Spirits that believe they have rank and rule. When Jesus went down and took those keys, he disarmed them and made a public spectacle of them. What it also means is that now, because of what he did, there is no accusation that can go past the blood when it comes to you. If you accept him and you give your life to him, you are forgiven. Your trespasses are removed from you. And the enemy has nothing in you because his power has been removed unless you give him a right. Okay. Now, are you guys okay? Okay. All right. Let's go to Ephesians 1, verse 19. Let's go a little deeper with this. So we understand that he's taken our trespasses away. We understand that we have eternal life. But what else do we have? What else does the resurrection do in our lives? Now watch. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? This is so powerful. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? He wants us to know the power of his resurrection. And now he's saying, what is the exceeding greatness of this power towards us? Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Now watch, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Oh, that's powerful. Oh, that's powerful. This power is working not only in that age. In other words, he's saying not only when Jesus rose from the dead, but also in the age to come, which is you and I. That same power that worked to raise Christ out of the grave is still working exceedingly in the lives of you and I. Now watch. What does that mean? Far above every force, every name, every power, every false god, every false anything. The power of resurrection is far above all those things. And look at this. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to who? To the church. What does that mean? That means that when you are in him, everything has been placed under his feet. He is the head. We are his body. The church is his body. When he was on earth, his body was on earth, and the kingdom of God was brought by him. But now that he's in heaven, he's the head, we the body, and the kingdom now is brought through you. It says that the principalities, the powers, the forces of darkness, the things that rage against your life have been placed under his foot. That means that the power that raised Christ from the dead, the power that raised Lazarus from the dead, the power that healed the blind eye, the power that healed the sick, that same power is still available now through who? So why don't we do it? Why don't we believe it? What has happened to us? That's why he says you must know what the power of the resurrection means. It means more than salvation. Eternity. You are alive now. You breathe and live now. You can be used now. The power of God that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you now. Now. This shouldn't be foreign to you. If you're hearing this and it's like, what? This is normal. This is what the Bible says. Amen. If you don't say amen, you better say, oh my. You see, when we are in him, he's the head, we're his body. In him, nothing is impossible. Now, where else do we see in the Bible where he uses an expression of feet? Let's go to the book of Joshua. Let's take a look at an old story. Joshua 1, we'll start in verse number 3. Watch this now. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. This is God speaking to Joshua before he goes into the promised land. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Wow, what a word. What a promise. And what Joshua did after he got this awesome promise was he went and he took a hammock and he tied it between two trees and he lay on the hammock and said, it's all done. No, that's not what he did. Amen. But imagine if he had done that. You need to know what the resurrection power means in your life, because he said that you would be able to stand above all powers and principalities. That everything should be under his feet, under your feet, you the body. But if Joshua had just decided to wait, because the promises have all been given to him before he steps into what he has. Listen, Joshua had to fight battles. Joshua had to go through some stuff. He had to believe and walk around a wall and then shout. Imagine what the men must have thought of him. You're going to shout at a wall? Okay. But what did Joshua do? He obeyed. You see, one of the biggest problems that we have, especially today, in this society, is we want to do it our way, or what some say. But the question is, what does he say? And you see, when we follow him, when we live in him, we have victory. Listen, you will still go through storms, but while you're in the storm, when you're in him, you'll have peace that you would not have had before. I still have lots of trials. Somehow, not always, it seems to be okay. I can handle this. Whereas before, I would have freaked out into a whole new dimension. But that's what he does in you when you're in him. And you begin to do what he says. Why don't we believe that the devil doesn't have a right to our kids? Why don't we believe that his power can overcome addiction? Why don't we believe that we can still see miracles today? Why don't we believe it? Because the spirit of this world is trying hard to persuade us. Oh, that's for then. Oh, no, it's not. Because Paul said, this age and the next. That means you and me, the key is to listen to His voice. Listen to His voice. If you want to hear His voice, once you are filled with His Spirit and you read His word, His voice is speaking loudly at you. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. You can sacrifice and it's good. Do many things, serve, all this stuff. But what He really wants is for you to listen to what He says. And if you follow Him, you will see the results of how He will crush the enemy under your feet. There are people here. There are people sitting here this morning. You've served God. You believe in Him, but the enemy has had his way in your life. One incident after another. One thing after another. Blow after blow after blow. Well, I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't have to be that way. I'm not saying that you will not go through tribulation. You will. But it's even through tribulation that we keep on worshiping. We keep on serving. We keep on loving. We keep on. And when you do that, you freak Satan out. You freak him into a whole different, another dimension. Man, he loves you so much, but he wants you to know his power in your life. Watch this now. One more scripture. I'm almost done. Are you guys okay? Almost done. John 14, 15. Look at this now. If you love me, keep my commandments. When we read that, we get all freaked out and think, oh my goodness, what was the fourth commandment and the eighth commandment? Listen, you're missing it. You're missing the point. The greatest commandment is that you should love him with all of your heart. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the person next to you. Love him with all of your heart. The rest will just come automatically, because while you're loving him, something changes on the inside of you. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So Jesus was the walking presence of God on earth. The kingdom had come, and he was manifesting the kingdom with signs and wonders and miracles and touching lives and changing lives. And you know, he gave some great sermons, but I can tell you now, it was more what he did that changed people's lives than what he said. Just being around him would change something inside you. I heard a story at Red Palmer's studio on Friday from I believe he was the mayor. He shared his testimony of how he got saved. And oftentimes we think it's going to be from some great sermon or from some great revelation. What caused him to give his life to Jesus was the life of his wife, an intellectual doctor that watched the peace his wife had. You see, you will be able to manifest his power, not by your great words of wisdom, but by the power of God that will be manifest through you, because you are changing. His love changes us. His power changes us. And people see it. And as they see it, they cannot deny it. Because it has a supernatural effect. It causes resurrection. It will raise up what's inside them. You see, God already knew you long before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He ordained you. He called you to be who he's called you to be. And there's eternity in the heart of every man. So when what God's placed in you begins to see it in somebody else, there's a reaction that takes place. It just happens. You can't control it. I've seen devil worshippers do it. I've seen it. Mercy in a car with a witch in the back. True story. Where she was busy cursing God and everything, and the pastor in the front of the car asked God to have mercy on her. Some of you won't believe this. That doesn't matter. And while he was asking God to have mercy on the witch in the back, she saw the heavens, because it was raining, and the back of the car was, the window was broken, and it was raining in the car on this witch. Yes, there'd be witches, just by the way. And she's busy getting wet, and he's praying for mercy for this witch who was so evil, so full of demons. And as he was crying out for mercy, she looked up and she saw a hand pull the clouds away. And she began to cry out to God. And she repented and gave her heart to Jesus right there. Here's the best part. She didn't even hear the prayer of the pastor. But what was going on with him was beginning to affect her life. The power of his resurrection will cause breakthrough, will cause change, will cause lives to change. Listen, guys, you must learn the word, because the word will have the potential and ability to change you. You will be transformed. We need it. We need to eat his flesh. We need to eat his word. It will transform us. It will change us. It will cause us to become one with him. But what good is it if it doesn't change you? It must change us. And in changing us, the reaction will be supernatural. And over the next few weeks leading up to Pentecost, we'll talk a lot about that. But this morning, I want to tell you that there is more to you than eternal life. You were born right now. You have no idea the biblical history that is being written at this moment. You are living in Bible times. Don't waste what he's given you. Don't waste your salvation. It's the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony that will change lives. The word of your testimony. This is nothing like the first sermon. But there are people here this morning that God wants to, he wants to resurrect you. He wants to resurrect your heart with his power. And he wants you to know that he has a plan for you. A great plan for you. Now this week, I had the privilege of going onto Red Palmer on his show on the radio on Wednesday. And while I was in the show, I was sitting there and, you know, and he played a song for me. He wanted to play a song for me. And when the song came on, it was really a beautiful song. And I was sort of quietly just really just experiencing the presence of God while the song's on the radio. I thought to myself, wow, that's really amazing. So, and in my heart, I felt that God was saying, I want you to bring him to sing it at the church. But I thought, that's not possible. There's not enough time. They haven't planned it properly. You know, I don't even know Red that well yet. You know, what if he's a really bad sinner? I don't know, you know. So, but I felt really strong. So I get back to the church, and myself and Tara and Naomi are sitting there, and I put the song on, and my wife begins to weep. And Tara's trying really hard not to weep, but she's weeping as well, because the presence of God is filling the room. Because there's such power in this song. So I tell Tara, listen, you need to call Red and ask him if he would be willing to come and sing it for us at church on Sunday. So she does. She calls him, and he accepted, which I was really excited about. Now the story's not over. So on Friday, I don't really know how it happened, but I ended up going back there on Friday, and we had an amazing time with two wonderful gentlemen, and a third gentleman, a lady, came in later. But there was a moment where we were alone, and obviously now he knew about the song, so he played it for the audience. And while he played it for the audience, it was just the two of us, and this time I cried the really ugly cry. The presence of God filled that studio. I'm weeping. I look over at him. The mic's gone. He's weeping. The presence of God is in the room there. And we're having this incredible moment. And let me tell you, when you share a moment like that with someone, you know that God is busy doing something. Amen. And so, you know, I watched him. He's a real professional. I don't know how he did it, because he managed to talk. I would have been like, oh, no. So he managed to pull it together. And it was such a special moment, and I asked him if he would come and sing it, and, you know, he's been so kind to, you know, yesterday I spent a lot of time getting this ready. But I believe this song this morning is so important, because I want you to understand the times that you live in. Nothing happens by mistake. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in God incidents. And I believe that Jesus came riding in that donkey into Jerusalem for a time where he had to go to the grave, because he had to rise again. But while you listen to this song, listen to the words of the song and let it touch your heart. Open your heart, receive this song because it is so powerful. This man has an incredible gift from God that has just touched my life, my family's life, I believe my staff's life, and I believe it'll touch many of your lives this morning if you just receive what God has for you this morning. So let's welcome Red Palmer. Thank you so much, Red.
I think we need to get something straight. I am a sinner. I promise you. Hi, everybody. Oh, it's been quite a week. It's great to see you all. I'd like to take a moment and look each one of you in the eye. This song is about the triumphal entry of Jesus. And I wrote this song about 35 years ago and did the original recording up at Bill Gaither's studio up in Indiana. I would sing it, and I used to sing it for audiences, but I kind of felt like I was faking it a little bit, because it's about a man who encounters Jesus on the pathway, and he's healed. And I felt like, well, I don't know if I've ever had a miraculous healing, although conversion is a miracle unto itself. I got saved when I was about 29, and then I lost a lot of people that were very near and dear to me, died. And my mom, my dad, my brother, I lost on 9/11. It's a long story. It wasn't in New York, but anyway. A lot of things fell apart for me. And a few years ago, late in life, I started to drink alcohol. And I started drinking it every night. And I couldn't stop. And then I'd have a shot in the morning to take care of my nerves and a shot in the afternoon. And it became an addiction. And I couldn't break it. And then about 2:00 one morning in the night, I asked Jesus. I said, Jesus, I just can't seem to stop on my own. So our man's pride, you know. So finally I said, I can't do this alone. I can't do this. I need you to do it for me. I surrender myself to you. And within a few days, I ended up stopping and belonging to a 12-step program. And actually a couple of weeks ago, I celebrated 9 years of sobriety. That's the resurrection power that we have at our disposal, each one of you. I know there's a few other sinners out there like me, right? And so I haven't had a drop since, except, well, I was actually up in Maine a few years back, 3 or 4 years ago, and actually I was on the front row. We were having the service outside, and Kenny Bunk and Senior, former President George Bush was there, and so was Barbara. And it was a beautiful day, and actually the chalice came my way filled with wine, and I took a sip, and I went, oh. But I said, you know something? It's okay. That wine is okay, you know? So this is a song called Who Is This Man? And I guess we'll start. I want to thank the musicians. You've done a great job. Thank you so much. This young lady is amazing, but it's, you know, I shouldn't probably be saying this, but you know, sometimes you go to places and people are putting on a show, and as soon as I came here, I used to sneak in the back so no one would see me, and I'm sitting there, and I would say, wow, you know, it's not showmanship. This is really praising my Lord, and praising my Savior, and. And then I found out, I don't mean to embarrass her because I don't even know her well enough to know her story that well, but Cheyenne, when she first started and the pastor recognized the talent in her, she'd never done this before, which is simply amazing. She said, oh, can I put my back towards the audience? Did you know that? That's amazing. Well, anyway, I'm sorry, but we're going to start. This is, who is this man? It's a dry day in Jerusalem. The hot sun, it bakes. All the people on the pathway, as they stand and wait with palm leaves in hand, who is this man? He's riding a donkey, this one who heals pain. They say he's Messiah, and one day he'll reign, fulfilling God's plan. Tell me, who is this man? Who is this man? Who is this man? Who is this man? They call They say he has authority like none they have heard. From his mouth issues wisdom like none they have heard. I must know if I can. Tell me, who is this man? He looks so familiar. As he draws near, all the children, they're seen. Suddenly I've no fear when he touches my hand.
So, if you listen to that song, do you know this man? Do you know this man who has healing in his hands to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free? You know, we were talking earlier on, and he said to me, you know, and we say this flippantly sometimes, but this is not a time where we play church anymore. This is a time where we are serious about God, because we live in a very sensitive time right now. And this morning, I want to ask you, do you know him? Listen, he said when he got up here that he's a sinner. Well, Paul said, I am the chief sinner. What does that mean? That means that we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short, but it's not about what you did. It's about what you do right now. You can't do anything about yesterday, last night, last week, last month. But right now, you can choose to worship him. Right now, you can choose to love him. Right now, you can choose to give your heart to him and be serious about your walk with him. And he will trample the enemy under your feet. So if you've come here this morning, no hype, I'm not calling you to the front. Nobody look around. Let's all bow our heads for just a moment. If you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I need to make right with God, just raise your hand real quick and I'll pray for you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Hands going up all over. God bless you. If you've raised your hand, you can put it down. Got so many hands. God bless you guys. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Anybody else say, Pastor, please include me this morning. I need to make right with God. I know this man. If that's you and you want to just be included in this prayer, I'm not going to drag this out. If that's you, just raise your hands. I'll include you. There we go. I've been waiting for you. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So many of you. Wow. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, young lady. Thank you so much. I see your hand, young man. You can put it down. God bless you. Thank you. Now, let's all stand for just a moment. So many hands went up. So many people have made this decision this morning. Now, listen to me. In this moment, this is so important. We're going to pray a prayer. And even if you didn't raise your hand, but especially if you did, you know, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. But here's the thing. I really believe it goes so much deeper than that. It really is a decision that you make in your heart to give your life to him, to make him the Lord of your life, not only for eternity, but for now. Because we know him now. So pray this prayer this morning from your heart, and everything will change from you from this moment. You will be made new. You will be made whole. Can we all pray this together this morning? Let's bow our heads. Father, let's all pray this. Father, I come to you this morning. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. He is the Son of God. Forgive me my sins. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the book of life. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you mean it, you are no longer the same anymore. You are no longer the same anymore. So, can I have your hand, please? I'm just going to pray for this man. Father, I pray for this man this morning. And Father, even this morning, as he slipped his hand up, very, very quietly, Father, there's a great work that's busy taking place in your life, in your heart. And the decision that you have made this morning will be a decision that will not only affect you, sir, it will affect your family. It will affect your loved ones. For there was a passion that you once had that this morning has been rekindled, relit. And you've been through the motions before, but this time God says, I will do something different in you, son. For today is a new day for you. I will renew your strength. I will renew you. I will give you wings like an eagle, says the Lord. And you will fly. You will soar with me again, says the Lord. And this will only be the beginning. And you will see your loved ones get touched again. One after another, they will be touched because of what I will do in you. For there will be a light that this time no one will be able to put out. My hand is upon you. My hand is upon you. in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a clap and a shout. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout. Come on, somebody. There are many people in this place this morning, and God is going to do something powerful in your life. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. Come on, somebody. It's a new day. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. Yeah. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. And so, Father, we are so thankful to you for what you have done in this place, but more than anything, what you have done in our hearts. How can we be the same? Because you rose again and you have given us life. We love you. We praise and worship you. Father, I pray that the word this morning will be branded on our hearts. We will never forget the sacrifice that you have made for us. Let us not be the same, Father. Let us be transformed by your word. Let it come alive in our hearts. We just thank you. We love you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship with the Spirit be with every one of you as you leave here this morning. Know this, that He is good. Know this, that His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.